Hey, Street Squad, Brandon here. Before this episode starts, I just wanted to apologize for the low audio quality when Antone speaks. Guys had some technical difficulties with the microphone they recorded him on, and it rendered it unusable. So I did the best I could with what I had. Anyway, hope you enjoy the podcast.
No, you're good.
Oh yeah, I forgot you can hear us pretty good.
I can't.
No yelling, we can't hear you at all, dude.
Yeah, you can. Oh, him, no. Hope you say really good stuff tonight.
He always does.
Thank you.
This is our 200th episode of Back Alley. I mean, what?
I think we're at 42.
No way, dude.
Uh-huh.
We've only been doing this 42 times.
Yeah.
It's filled like 1,000.
Well, there's like 10 of them that you didn't even plug in the thing.
At least two. And there was two that you didn't plug it in.
Oh.
Oh.
What's this one too? Oh, it's my desk. Nice.
They can't even see that.
I can though.
Yeah, what's the point?
Are you mad because you don't have stick-on lights on your table?
Yeah, I sit at a beer pong table.
Last few days I was thinking about getting another one of these and kind of doing what we have here, but making it all of us could sit at the desk.
Yeah, dude.
Even Antone one day.
Yeah, he's got a corner.
He'll be always sitting in the middle. Hey, big guy, sit in the middle. That way he doesn't have to get the gate.
Is that...
It's cowboy logic.
Is that why?
Yeah.
Cowboy logic?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, man.
What's up, fellas?
I feel like it's been months since we've been here.
Yeah.
It feels like it's been a while.
Well, he wasn't here because he didn't feel good.
Well,
he was sick.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
The best.
And he calls and lets us know. I'm talking about who's not here tonight.
Yeah.
Wasn't even going to call at all.
Well, you don't even need to bring it up because I can't never see him anyway.
Yeah, well, he does because he puts himself in the frame.
Yeah.
With his phone. Yeah. Not this time. Not this time. We're going to go back to old school. I'm not even going to give this one to him. I'm going to do it myself.
Just put it out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll have two podcasts probably out this week.
Back to back.
Back to back Antone episodes.
Yeah, dude. If you actually put out the last one.
I haven't yet because I'm still working on it.
I know.
Fine, I'll stay up all night and do it tonight. No, your brother did a good job on his editing part. He's starting to dabble in the video part of it and.
Yeah.
If he wasn't too tired because of his job.
Yeah, I get that.
Then he could probably, you've been working late and you drive 45 minutes.
To get here.
Yeah. So there's no more excuses.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, dude. Life is very.
Life gets in the way.
Yeah, dude. And it makes you think of your own priorities and.
What are your priorities? Let's get to that first. Let's do our opening and welcome to Street Smart.
We need to warm this up.
Christian. Yeah, let's get this. Let's start on a happy note before we get into our priorities. That song obviously isn't the song that I put out on the podcast.
It
I usually try to do something fun. Yeah, but I liked to do the other because it was a little more amplified. The audio was a little. And it seemed that it, no matter what I put on there, our head bobbing would match whatever I was doing.
Yeah.
However, the last two times, I pay for a service that has songs, but I've been flagged twice by YouTube. And once by Facebook for
copyright infringements.
Yeah, and I can't say that I've been flagged because we don't have any strikes. but I can't monetize those episodes. If we were ever to start making money on episodes, we can't get paid for those. But then I found out from some other podcasters out there that say that because it's becoming such a big thing, that a lot of these people who put together this music are now starting to go, wait a minute, I can get paid for that. Gave it for free for a while, and then once that contract's up, they want paid.
Everybody wants that money, man.
So we can't use Ultimate 80s Hip Hop no more as far as the theme song.
80s Hip Hop.
And there was another one, Rock something, but...
some alternative. Or blues.
Your dad's supposed to come up with a jingle.
Do you play instruments?
He plays the drums.
The drums.
Oh, nice.
Dude, did you ever pay attention in church ever? He was a drummer.
Now I remember. Yeah.
Before Clint came back.
Yep.
And then he decided to have a career.
Clint or?
And Clint gave up his career and came back to drumming.
How's that going, dude? How's?
Dude, I'm stoked for you.
School and stuff.
It's going well. Right now I'm in the middle of taking practice tests. And so I'm just, my sole existence has been studying and taking tests. This upcoming, what's remaining of this week, or next week, I'll take the first written exam.
Dang. So you got to do writtens before you even get in there and start flying things.
And
have you done any hours behind them?
No, never mind.
Sorry.
I was going to say, and what are these tests you're taking?
Yeah. They're FAA written exams. So the first one's my private pilot license. Then I'll start working on my instrument.
Nice, dude.
How confident would you be right now to fly Kevin to California?
I could get you there.
We could get there one way?
Well, yeah. Okay, not as far as the directions, but as far as flying in the air.
I'd say I'd like to think I'm pretty confident. I mean, I have like five or six hours.
I'd like to hear
hours
from my pilots. I'd like to say.
Well, I'm not trained yet.
He never flied yet.
No, that's
flown
no,
yet.
That's cool, dude. No, that's super cool. I mean, that's something that's huge. I would never in a million years put myself in your shoes and say, I'm just going to start flying airplanes. I mean.
Yeah, that gives me anxiety, bro.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, for like, I don't know what it is. Like, flying has never been my favorite thing because I don't like the takeoff or the landings.
I don't mind.
I don't mind being up in the air, like, thousands of feet in the air. Yeah, I don't, that doesn't bother me, but it's the takeoffs and the landings. I'm like, there's so many things that could go wrong right now.
You know, that anxiety that you feel about that is the anxiety I get about motorcycles. Both things that he loves to do, we have a fear.
Oh, you ride bike too?
Yeah. Remember? Yep. Yeah. You remember when we went to the Yogi Bear Park?
Yeah.
He rode his motorcycle up there with his sister.
Did you?
Yeah.
Dang.
They came riding in on the rain. Just
that's so bad. Dang.
Well, that's cool. There's our first official need to be beep. Yeah, I'll probably leave that
can
in.
We start
like,
over.
They're gonna be like, "What are all those other beeps?" If he just
it's the first time I messed up.
No, I did it a couple of times in some of our serious conversations.
Yeah, but this first time I've messed up.
That's all right. I'm going to keep it in.
Please don't.
No, don't worry. I'll have something funny. It'll be edited out, but it'll be something funny like a
ooga.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like that just goes to show like when you get lost in the priorities of the world, man, like you start talking like the world.
Well, no, and not only, but the cool thing about it is It's just comfortable. All three of us can sit here and talk like just guys hanging out. That's really what the whole goal is.
Yeah. What's our hot topic of the night, though?
So the hot topic of the night that I wanted to get into is I thought, you know, you brought up priorities, which I think is going to segue into what I was going to talk about anyways.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, Anton, what's your hot topic of the night?
I brought it up last time. Talk about ghosts. Ghosts.
Hey.
All right. Yeah, we'll get into some ghosts.
Okay, we got priorities. We got ghosts.
And... so I think I'll just kind of get into what I wanted to talk about because it's. I don't think you can really put a title. I don't. You'll probably know because you're really good with your good words. Wordsmith.
Thank you.
I'm
it's
not
a good vernacular.
This is why you were the president of.
Dude, you were the president too of
My 4-H club. That's a lot different.
4-H. I was saying 4-H. That's what I was saying. Oh, man, dude.
Here's something that I struggled with this week, guys, and I think a lot of Christians struggle with it, and I think, Anton, you probably heard one of my little rants on my videos, and I struggle with this all the time, and it's not good, and I know that, and I know scripturally where to go and where it says not to do that, so I'm aware of all that, but I still struggle with it, and that is, let me put a story out
there.
I know
what this is. What? I know what you struggle with, but go ahead.
Okay. So there is an acquaintance of mine who's a non-believer. And not only is this person a non-believer, but they go out of their way to belittle people of Christian faith. They go out of their way to, and I think it's to get a rise out of people because not even strict atheists go on social media and type the stuff that comes out of this person's mouth. I can paint a little better picture. Christmas time comes around, okay? And this person has a couple of different accounts. It's the same person, but I don't know. Maybe one is for her close family.
Did you grow up with her?
I didn't say it was a her.
You just did.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Then I'll beep all that because I think
good,
it's such
now
a,
we're good. No,
well, no, because it's a tight knit community and I don't, this person's not listening to this podcast. I can tell you that. However, they'll say things like instead of Merry Christmas, happy that is actually a slut that had sex with not her husband and had a child. Yeah.
What?
Instead of saying, basically saying there's no way that there was a virgin birth.
Oh, okay.
That she slept with somebody else and this was her way to get away with it from her husband by saying, God got me.
Yeah, dude, that's so crazy.
And I leave that in because this is real. This is a lot of people.
Their belief to it.
Think of it. Okay. So that, as a believer, gets me fired up. However, I would still help this person if they were broke down on the side of the road. I would still help this person if they were going, and I know they go through mental struggles.
Mm-hmm.
I still pray for this person. I would still help this person if they came and asked me to help them with something. I would. But the thing that drives me nuts in my own mind and what I struggle with is I do my best to be the best Christian man for my family, for my friends, for my church community, and for myself, for my God. You know, obviously that order is backwards.
Yeah, you should have had that one first.
You know, but you guys know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
I struggle with the worldly things every day. Flesh, my mind, my mental stability, envy. And this is where this is going to tie into.
Yeah.
Why am I having to face so many trials? When am I going to get my slice of the pie?
Yeah.
And then I see these people that blaspheme the name of Christ intentionally sit in this church, and I've witnessed it at funerals, sit in this church and laugh at the pastor when he's given the salvation talk. Roll their eyes and laugh with the guys in the back.
Yeah.
And I'm looking down from the crow's nest, if you will, going. And then all this, and keep in mind that I'm fully aware that I have no idea what goes on behind closed doors. I have no idea what people are going through here and here. All I can see is what I see with my own eyes. And I'm struggling to keep food on the table, but I'm struggling to fulfill the duties of what every man and their family should do. I've been laid off of work, been unemployed, all this stuff. I'm going to be 40. I don't, in my mind, think I have what I should have at 40 years old. I'm paycheck to paycheck most of the time, you know what I mean? And then these people come out and they have everything in my mind.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
I just had my house delivered. You know, I know he's going to go to scripture. I know. And I'm glad. This is why I wanted to bring this up tonight, because I know I brought it up to you. And I'm not saying you don't know a buttload of crap about the gospel, because you do. That was good.
Because you do.
But no, but I see this stuff, and I've been seeing it more now because Satan wants me to see it more now because I have nothing.
Well, I think he knows that one of your Achilles heels is that.
Oh, for sure.
Is that envy. And
it's not that it's, because it used to be looking at my brothers, my little brothers, and I'm thinking, mm-hmm. I'm the older brother. I'm supposed to be the one paving the way for my little brothers, mm-hmm. not the other way around. That was my Achilles heel. Mm-hmm. And so when I got over that, because we've had many of venting sessions yeah. about that, when I got over that, all of a sudden now this is coming up, and now it's the unbelievers. Ways. So it's not just that one person. So then I get to go and swiping TikTok, Facebook, and more atheist stuff's coming into my algorithm. And I never even looked it up. It's just, here it is. And I look at all this and I'm like,
yeah,
what am I doing wrong?
Right.
Why am I being, you know, and then I get into scripture and I get into things like that. And it's, you know, everything is set up perfectly for what you can handle, mm-hmm. what you need in your life right now, even though you think that you're getting the raw end of the deal. Then I go into the studies, the theological studies with Steve. And it's like, some people, brother, don't even get that other side of the rainbow until they're in heaven. Mm-hmm. That's a hard pill to swallow, because I'm like, I hope that's not in the next couple of months. But yeah. I would really like a little slice of that pie.
Yeah.
These other, you know, these older people that I study with, they're like, you're getting us. You don't realize it, but you're changing. You're helping change kids' lives every yeah. week.
You ever think that
you're doing all this?
That analogy with the pie. You ever think like you have a slice of pie in front of you?
But
like,
you don't. You want the big. Yes, exactly. And that is the constant battle that's in my head. Mm-hmm. And I'll be real with you guys. For the past couple of months, I've been depressed.
Yeah.
This is the highlight of my week. Now, I'm not taking anything away yeah. from my wife or my daughter. When I'm holding my daughter yeah. and I have her, obviously my heart is filled with so much love that I get emotional. Mm-hmm. I know you've got a son.
Yeah,
and that emotional, and you just like, I'm changing my life for you. And then you wake up and you're like, I'm changing my life for them. Yeah. And then it's like, this trash can dumpster life, you know, that might, and then you buy. When you're unemployed, not by choice, but then you're forced to sit there. You just sit there in this pit,
soaking sour, bro.
Yeah, and you sit there and
soaking sour.
A wandering mind is the devil's playground.
Yeah,
and it gets you down, and then you start thinking, well, what does this matter? Mm-hmm. What does this matter? What does that matter? And then you see these people that are just basically flipping God off to his face, and they're like.
Well, that's the thing. Like in the world,
that's the way it's. I know
they make it,
but it's hard
because they do that and they make it in this world because the world is so.
And
backwards.
I've got to believe, right, that I'm not the only person that deals with that.
No,
right,
you're not 100% not. Yeah,
but so what do you have scripturally to tell me to stop crying?
No, I think it's a good point you bring up, because especially in the society we live in, on social media, everybody posts the best side of.
Yeah, you only see one side of those.
Right. But I guarantee if you took a look in their heart, and if you took a look just deep in their
behind
eyes,
closed doors. A lot of pain. Yep.
Oh, yeah, I know that for a fact.
It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And I think...
Is that Matthew?
Yes, Matthew... 19:23.
I was going to say 24.
Almost.
Yeah, 23 through 24. You're right.
Yeah.
But it's just, it is hard because we want to have a lot of money or a lot of possessions, but it's for the right reasons. I mean, you know.
One second.
real quick.
Why were we getting a bunch of
red? No, he was just going straight into the red. No. Go ahead.
But we have...
There you go. Now you're seeing it. I'm seeing
it. Yeah, and you can, you don't have to have it all the way up to your mouth either. You can be like right there.
Right by here?
Yeah.
Okay. But we
if it goes into red, it goes into red.
A lot of... We want to have the possession so we can help people, right? I mean, you want all that, like you said, that piece of pie so you can help grow this. But it's all in God's timing, and it's all in his plan. I mean, mm-hmm. I always revert back to this because, I mean, my parents, they gave up everything for us.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Mm-hmm. And it's more than I will ever be able to repay them mm-hmm. for. And they've definitely had some financial troubles.
Right.
I wouldn't say we're necessarily out of it yet, but mm-hmm. I keep reverting back to this and that, you know, I mean, no matter what, the good Lord will make sure that we survive and that we're okay. And
as long as you're trusting in him. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You know, and so that's a good verse that you brought up, because, and the reason I have that Matthew and I said 19:24 is because I read that over and over again. But you want to know what the world puts into my head is Jesus is saying, verily I tell you, it is easier for than a rich man to enter into heaven. It's easier for a camel to fit through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to be in heaven. And then I go, I don't need to necessarily be a very rich man. I mean, define rich.
Yeah.
I want to be comfortable.
Well, that's where you get.
But that's where you start playing these games, yeah, dude. And it's
you get to that thing, like the definition of being rich in the world is so wrong, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Money comes and goes. You know, you're if you're healthy, you're rich there because your health comes and goes too. You know what I mean? Like, it's all perspective. The smallest things ever. Do you have a car? Some people don't. You know, you get to that whole mentality where you're like, well, what are you thankful for? What are you grateful for?
I was talking to Anton about this earlier. All this stuff that I want.
It's all in the ways, bro.
I don't pay a mortgage. Yeah. I don't pay rent.
Mm-hmm. You got a home.
I don't have a car payment.
You got a car. You got a home.
I have two cars.
You got two cars. You got land.
I've got all this stuff. I'm very blessed, and I know that.
You're rich. You're, dude.
However, I look into my bank account, and I go, mm-hmm. I'm going to have to walk to Garrett's house tomorrow, probably.
Because you can't put gas in the car.
Yeah, but that's the mentality that you start to get.
And it's such an easy trap to fall into.
When I was, when things were good, work was good. I didn't have that. And because work was so good for a while, I've been laid off since October. And I'm haven't received an unemployment check since I started filing.
Really?
Yeah. It'll all fall into an account. All of the backlog will all just go.
Yeah, because you're unemployed with job attached.
Yes. Right? Yes. So once that happens, then you'll start getting your weekly unemployment thing. But until everything processes, and it could be up to 10 weeks, and I think I'm on week 8. But 8 almost weeks there. Without getting paid is rough.
Well, that's right there will test where your faith truly lies.
For sure, for sure. And you it's know? Been 100% solid with Christ.
Yeah, you've been like, I don't want to speak for you, but God has provided.
For sure. He has provided for sure. 100%.
Whether it be through your wife or
I'm not starving
family.
To death.
Yeah.
My kids got things to eat. My wife's working.
Mm-hmm.
She's helped me out when she needed to. The church is hiring me to paint the church.
Yeah.
You know, when I was at my lowest point, I'm sitting there praying to God going, dude, I don't know what to do. And I can't be stuck in my head anymore.
You just want to give up and lay underneath your house?
Yeah. And Garrett calls. Hey, man. And, you know, Garrett, I mean, he's got about as much enthusiasm as, hey, man, do you even want to work? Well, yeah. All right, then. I got some things you could do. Can you frame? I'm like, I'm not really a framer. That's all right. and I'm so grateful for that phone call.
Yeah.
From Garrett. And then last few days, been helping them out. Gets me out of
your own head.
My own head and focused on things. Because I love work. I love to work. I've never had a sick day at work in my entire working career until I broke my neck and they wouldn't let me go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I tried, and they're like, no, you can't do that, because if you die...
where you got to pay for
everything. We're going to pay for everything, yeah. That's the only time in my life that I ever missed work.
Yeah.
Like, anybody who thinks that my work ethic is probably better than my rest of my life ethic, because I did not manage the rest of that very well. I mean...
There's something about that in the Bible, too, with, like...
If you don't work, you don't eat.
Drowning your time and... work,
yeah,
and not spending your time with Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, like we
I don't know where it is, like yesterday
we search for just any and everything but what has the answers, bro.
Right. And then, well, he just said that all of life's problems can be solved.
Yeah,
right there in the covers of the Bible. Is that what he said?
Yeah, it's a Ronald Reagan quote. It's not exactly, but it's something along the lines of every problem that mankind has can be solved in the covers of the Bible.
Well, we just lost all of our Democrat listeners.
Do we have any Democrats?
No, we don't. We have, like, unless anybody in your family is Democrat.
I don't know. I mean, regardless of politics, his quotes...
Wasn't he...
No, I know.
Didn't he have some Democratic views?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. I mean, I don't care. I just had to... You know, it doesn't matter. Let's move on.
He's going home.
But no, so that's really something that I have been struggling with. So any extra prayers about that?
Yeah.
Because God is providing. I mean, the church let me go and order all that paint. And they're like, can we hire you to paint this church? That's a whole nother week's worth of work. Garrett still has a bunch of little crazy projects that he... I'm starting to figure out why he's having me do it, because if not, then they're going to get into it really hard.
Someone's going to get.
Yeah.
Someone's going to get God.
And I love it, because both of those guys are both incredible godly men. Mm-hmm. You get into both of their vehicles and it's Christian music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're normal guys, but they're, you can just get, you sense that energy.
Yeah.
That this isn't a regular job that I'm used to.
Yeah.
And I like that a lot.
Do you have struggles with that? Get in your head and, you know.
No.
I mean, if not, I mean.
It's no, fine, no, but... no. But what do you think?
No, absolutely. I do.
Yeah.
No, I get in my head all the time. I struggle with a lot of things like that, whether that's, you know, that can be self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
That can be like something I was actually really struggling with.
Dude, you're good.
Is just like talking to my mom. I said, okay, am I on the right path?
Mm-hmm.
Like with my career field, am I really serving God? Am I doing what's best? Because,
right.
You know, I know these people. Like, I don't know if you've seen Machine Gun Preacher. Seen that
movie? No, that's with Gerard Butler, isn't it? That's based on a true story, dude.
Yeah.
In Africa.
So basically.
Yeah.
So crazy.
Yeah, he gets out of prison, establishes, or goes on a mission trip after finding Christ. And builds a church or something, but then ends up going back and building
orphanages. Oh, yeah, and he fights the rebels.
Yeah, fights those really bad dudes.
That president dude that killed all those orphan kids.
Right. So he actually has opportunities to do mission trips over there. And all you do is you just go and you just love on those kids.
Yeah.
And, so I've looked into that. Or Mark... I forget his name right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, another guy. He is an amazing Christian, has an amazing story. And he has the opportunity to do mission trips too. And so he actually just got back from Israel. He was over there. Saved
Dang,
the kids
during all this?
Yeah.
The climbing out there? Dude. Yeah.
So, you know, I told Mom, I go, am I doing the right thing? Like, I was just talking to her. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't know if I am. Like, I want to pursue the Lord, and I want to do his work. And she kind of helped reinstall that in me. And the hard part is I go, okay, is this the Holy Spirit tugging on me saying you need to go do something?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this the devil trying to misguide me?
Yeah, and you try to make you confuse
right.
His voice with God's. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I get that because, you know, when you're first on fire for the Lord, but you're on fire for the Lord, and you want to do everything that glorifies Him, and you know, missions. Like I used to be like, I wanted that too. Like I wanted to go, and I have my son, and you know, obviously I can't go, I can't leave and do that, you know, but like you feel that desire to want to do things more. But I've heard Pastor Rick say it many times. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, for those Christians that feel that pull, like we need missions even in our own state, our own country, so you know what I mean? That. And it's like you, with you getting a pilot's license, you'd be traveling everywhere.
Right.
So, you know, you could be hitting people in the, our own cities here that, you know, it may not be as impoverished as overseas, but there are some places that are,
yeah,
really are, you know, and finding that avenue through your work. Like that's something that's really hard for me too. Cause I, where I work, it's not as widely accepted. There's a lot of believers, but there's not like, it's not big like everything else. Like all the groups of the world, big in the corporate world, you know? So if you're trying to have a voice in somewhere like that, like it's kind of intimidating a little right. bit, you know, but you know, that's where you're at. God puts you where you're supposed to be. If you're trusting that He is guiding your path, you're where you're supposed to be.
Right.
Now you got to talk to Him and figure out, okay, how do you want me to expand your kingdom where I'm at? Like, right. What should I be saying to folks? What should I be doing? How should I be engaging with certain things? You know, should I start, you know, asking other people that I think are believers if they want to do a Bible study, or even if they're not, like trying to encourage something like that? Or, you know, I've ran into it quite a bit where it's really, you know, you run into a stone wall where people are like, nah, I don't believe in that. Mm-hmm. And then you try to ask them, but you don't want to push it too much. And it's like almost a game of chess, man,
yeah.
Because there's a lot of people out there that don't know, and they don't want to know,
right.
But they do know, and they just deny, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's one of those things. I don't know where I was going with that.
No, I think I know where you're going. And I, just to piggyback off what he said, what Rick said about that. And I remember when I was a young believer, one of Rick's sermons, he talked about, if God wants you in Africa, you're going to Africa. If God wants you in China, you're going to China.
God wants you in prison, you're going to prison.
And it was clear back then, and he was still like,
prison preacher, bro.
And he was saying, you know, but are you ready to die for your faith? And I'm like, and I heard a lot of evangelists and online preachers talk about the mission field, and I met people that were in the mission field, and I'm like, is that what you have to do to be a legit evangelist or a legit crit? Like, and I got into my first discipleship relationship,
mm-hmm.
and the mentor in that, one of the questions I asked him is like, selfishly, I was like, I don't want to go to Africa. I don't want to leave this country. Why is it that every Christian that I'm listening to or looking up to or that seems to have it all figured out is in some sort of mission field, mm-hmm. and people are just giving them loads of money because they're not getting paid?
Yeah.
So they come home here with the people that I experience, and they go door to door or home to home, and they sit down and give this spiel, and then they go, could you sponsor us for $100 a month or mm-hmm. whatever? Like Tupperware salesman for Christians. And so I'm like, how, like, is this something that I'm supposed to do? And I'll never forget, he sat there and he said, why would you go to Africa if you haven't even talked to the person across the street?
Yeah, if you don't even know your neighbor.
He said, event, start here. And after you know that you did everything that you can here, he said, the mission is not a bad thing. People going over to other countries and spreading the gospel. But he said 90% of those people haven't even talked to the person that lives next to them. Hmm. Or talked to their uncle or a cousin or a brother or sister. They just fly to another country where people obviously are loving on them because they're building them their houses and schools and bringing in fresh water and their school supplies. But they won't go talk to the guy across the street.
Yeah, but I mean, God still works in those
for folks, sure. For but sure, he said, but "If
that's a good perspective, you
start here. Right. Start here. Start at home."
Right, and I think what I struggled with the most is that I went from a year of dedicating my life to service. Right, so like being a state officer, well, every day I was serving the members, I was helping my team, and I was trying to. I was using my faith as a propeller, and I was using my faith to guide me through the year. Then all of a sudden, I retired. Just a halt. And then it was a hurry up and wait game until flight school started. And so that didn't start until December. And so then through that time, I was doing nothing but working. And I'm thinking, okay, what am I?
How was that? That's how you stayed busy, was you were working during the time where there was, you weren't actively doing the FFA and before the school, right?
Right.
So you're sitting there and you filled your time with work.
Right. And this is going to sound horrible, but it was in the best way possible. It was killing me.
Yeah.
It was like how I want to facilitate. I want to meet people. I want to go out.
Right. And you want it. Stuff. You want it. Yeah.
And I didn't want to stop. Not necessarily the being on a podium, but I wanted to stop. I didn't want to stop interacting. I didn't want to stop making an impact.
Okay. So can I ask you this? Because I know that you became a pretty big deal in FFA world. Did you have to spend a lot more time with God so that didn't go to your head that you are top dog in the state for FFA? Cause for me, if they gave me that title today, dude, better believe my boots are polished and I'm going to look sharp and I'm going to I want people to take pictures of me.
Yeah.
I want to be it behind a microphone. I want to shake everybody's hand. Because it's going to, and this is why God doesn't, he humbles me with, hey, let's eat dirt for a while.
He's like, maybe you're not ready, bud.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. I know that. It's still depressing, but I know that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Because a lot of the time I do want spotlight. Because the majority of my life, I've never been in the spotlight. And when I see that opportunity, that little glimmer, I'm like,
yeah.
But I just want it to happen. I don't want to work that hard for it.
Yeah.
This is a little different because I'm actually putting effort into this. But did you have to have a little more conversation like, hey, keep me humble here? Or was it just natural for you to stay humble?
I think because it's not really something and this is going to sound very pompous, but it's not something I really struggled with.
Yeah.
Right.
I was surrounded by amazing people.
Right.
I kept Jesus first.
Yeah.
And I think
basically that was saying I'm a loser.
I mean, it's two different, it's total different perspectives.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's from something.
Two Christian guys
that are pursuing Christ. And here's the one thing that has come up a couple times with what I've been trying to study this week is like God wants you to be alone with him at times too. You know what I mean? And that's where like, cause how many times when Christ was doing all these amazing miracles was he here and he's in front of thousands of people sharing the gospel, make bread and loaves and fish and all that stuff. But then he goes off and he's by himself and he's with God. Like, how many times did that happen? Many times. So, like we need to have that ability to be alone with God. And if you can't be alone because you can't be alone with yourself where your mind takes over and starts saying all this stuff, then you're not going to spend that time with God. You're going to be in your own head and the devil's going to just make it his playground, you know? Like it's just one of those things, man.
Here's another thing that I've realized, and even with the struggles that Kevin and I have talked about with your upbringing and things like that. But what I really noticed, and like you just said, that you've never really struggled with that, letting it get to your head and big-headedness.
Yeah, you got good humility.
Humility. Do you think you can attribute a lot of that to being raised in a strong Christian home?
Absolutely. I attribute everything absolutely everything
for sure
about me that I've done to my parents and to Christ.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Obviously Christ first, but then my parents, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, my
but dad. They put their whole lives to Christ. So they, right. you attribute to them, you're attributing to God.
And you're, too. And you're a living testament of discipleship starts in the home.
Yeah, dude.
Right. It does. It absolutely does. Cause
like, you know, you're a living proof right here.
My role models, you know, were both my parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, my dad is someone who's very humble. I still find out about competitions and things he's won, and I had no idea.
Yeah.
And I go,
right.
Like, for instance, okay, so I had these pair of boots, and so I stole them from dad, and I go, hey, Dad, can I wear those? He goes, yeah, sure, whatever. So I wear them because his ankle was swollen, side story.
Yeah.
But anyway, and so I wear them, and I'm wearing them around, and yeah, these are awesome.
Nice
so
boots.
Dad goes, I asked Dad, I said, where'd you get these? And he said, well, your papa bought them for me. And I go, oh, okay. He goes, yeah, it was after I won a Farm Bureau speaking competition.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a national finalist for this competition.
Yeah.
And I had no idea.
You know, it's...
That's so cool.
It's just a different mindset. And my dad was a blessing in my life, for sure, 110%. But he also raised me with the mentality that you better go get it. And you better not waste your opportunity and go get it.
Mm-hmm.
But Christ wasn't the center of our home.
It was about getting something that...
Whether that meant screw your buddy, if you got to step over him to get it, then that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
That the world's not going to wait for you. And so that's where a lot of my mentality comes from. When I see other people doing things, I'm like, you know, I didn't do it.
I didn't go get it.
I was too nice.
I didn't go get it, man.
I was too nice to people.
I didn't step on that person.
Yeah. Now that's painting a really bad picture of my dad. I mean,
yeah, but no,
but you know,
yeah.
He wanted us to know that we're not going to get anything handed to us.
Yeah, and it instilled good work ethic.
Right.
You know, you do a job. You like you said, you were never sick to work. Like,
but
even if you were sick, you went to work. Like, you know, like.
Right.
Screw everybody else. They're sick now too, but it's whatever. But
yep. Yeah. Don't hold anything back for those who are working with you. Cause they're not going to do it for you. That mentality, like they're not going to do it for you, man. So you better go do it.
And there's value in all that.
There is,
you know, and it's just, it's one of those things, you know, it simple things that we grow up with, you know, they mold us.
Yeah.
Those little moments in our lives that, you know, shape us, whether we do it intentionally or not, you know, it's something that, you know, if it's not in the foundation of Christ or, you know, and you find that later in life or whatever, my parents, they didn't, my dad, like he grew up in the Catholic and so mm-hmm. he went and did
and
all
that's
the,
a whole different type yeah, of and, upbringing.
And most people that I've talked to that, you know, were raised Catholic, they were just like, yeah, I didn't know what any of it meant. But like, there's all the rules that they have to meet. Like, you have to be baptized in order to salvation. Get married at the church and all this stuff. Yeah. Like, and you got to pay for all that or what have you. Like, I'm not an expert by any means, but you know, it's just, yeah, the world will feed you whatever to keep you going towards it. And then it's the moment that you find Christ and you really get to know him is that you find out like, oh, It is a relationship. It is spending right. time. Like if you don't nurture a relationship, it's just going to be one sided. You know what I mean? There's not going to be flowers or fruit that grows there.
And the really
and people, cool, a lot of people want to do that. Where right. like I did this, so now can I get mine? Where's mine?
Yeah, I want my flowers.
You know what I mean? Like I want to see my fruit.
Yeah.
And some people never will.
No.
And it's one
until
of those
they're
things.
In heaven, and Christ is like, hey.
Yeah.
You have the, here's the,
but even if we, it's a lot of us too, I feel like if the fruit, we have it and we just don't even see it.
We don't utilize it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us don't, me, myself included, I'm going to put myself at the forefront of this is a lot of times I'm ignoring what God is screaming at me.
Yeah.
Of what I know he wants me to do. But because of my pride and because of my head, I'm like, nah, maybe not right now.
Like I want it, but not that bad.
It's like this. Right now. In my head, I thought, you know what? I'm going to tell these guys, let's not try to force a conversation. Let's talk about a few things. And if it doesn't go an hour, but we're at 45 minutes just about.
Yeah. We didn't even get to the ghost yet, dude.
Because my head, I finally listened to what God is screaming, like, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Stop thinking about it and just do it. Stop trying to script every little thing and just do it. Mm-hmm. When I do my little things in the backdrop and I'm so focused on just wanting to read a Bible verse and try to dissect the Bible verse, which is good. But then when I have my little rants and I'm like, hey, I'm just a Christian guy and I want to know what everybody else thinks about this and this is what's bugging me. I know this is the scriptures that I can go to that says, you know, don't store. I think in that one I said, we're not supposed to be storing up treasures here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to store them up in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, but that's really hard because I want treasures here.
Yeah.
One of my best viewed videos on Street Smart Christian right now. I had so many comments come in from people I don't even know that are just like, hey, man, I get it. I'm going to pray for you. I get this. And I'm like, and the whole time, that's what God's been screaming is just go on there and be yourself.
Yeah.
You can still keep me in the center of this, but stop getting on there trying to be this biblical scholar until you're ready to do that.
Until, yeah.
And I will let you know when you're ready to do that. Until then, get out there and talk to people that are searching for me.
Talk to your neighbor, bro.
And let them know that this is, you've been doing this for 7 years and you're not any better than the person that's trying to figure this out. Because when I sit there and I try to sit there and I throw this in everybody's face and act like I know everything, I'm no better than the people I'm intimidated by that go on there and try to, which is all good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good stuff. But that's not how I talk to people here at church.
Yeah.
I just love on people and be myself.
And make fun of them.
And make fun of them. I make fun of Kevin.
I'm the only one?
Yeah.
Dang.
Ooh, who am I going to make fun of? Monty?
Brandon. Oh, he doesn't go here.
Yeah, see, there you go. I used to give him a hard time all the time.
Yeah.
When he's playing the drums and... I used to always say something before I went up on the stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be like, are you going to do a drum solo today? Or
yeah, I'm like, hey, are you going to do more than just hit the cymbal? Or I used to give him a hard time about everything.
Yeah.
But that's, and so nothing is going to work until I am, you hit the nail on the head when you talked about self-confidence. I lack in a lot of self-confidence.
Well, you know where,
because I put myself on a pedestal.
You know where you get that confidence from is in Christ, man.
Well, yeah, for sure. But when
don't have confidence in yourself, have confidence in Christ.
In Christ, for sure. But then you put yourself on a pedestal, and that's where you run into this.
Yeah.
Because Christ wants you here, but you're telling Christ you don't know what you're talking about. I need to be here.
Yeah.
It's trust, really?
Surrendering and trusting the process. That's
it's hard. I think we all struggle with it.
Still struggle with surrender. That's always because I grew up knowing Christ at a young age and knowing that it was about surrendering and chip on the shoulder as a young kid. I thought I knew best and I'm like, I don't need to surrender. And I ate crap hard every time, dude. Like I face planted in the dirt so many times. And I still struggle with surrendering. And it wasn't until, you know, I surrendered fully that I started seeing God working in my life and actually calling me closer. But even then, I'd find myself back on that same path where I'm like, oh, I forgot I need to surrender, you know. And I'm stressing. I'm making myself sick, bro. Like, you're like, you get sick just because you're like, I can't figure this out.
Yeah.
Instead of you're like, Lord, I give this to you.
You know, and for us,
you know,
you and me chose different outlets instead of Christ when we would hit that fall on your face.
Mm-hmm.
We would chose different outlets to take you away.
Yeah, you tend to choose the easiest outlet, which
and
is see, the world.
And what I think is really cool about Antone and his family, like I've got to develop a relationship with his mom and his dad over the last couple of years. They're so easy to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
About anything.
Yeah.
You bring something up and his mom has just got this inviting. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm not, and I was never used to that. And I know that you weren't necessarily used to that either. Cause it was always something like if I would go to my dad with some stuff, he'd be like, well, that's because you're an idiot
mm-hmm.
and you're dumb. And that's what, you know, not like that brutal, but that's
what your dad sounds horrible. Though.
That's what it would come back to me. Or they just wouldn't understand what I was saying at all because they never went through it.
Yeah.
And I know that I've talked to your mom about some things and whether she's been through it or not, she was just so easy to listen. She gave that ear of like, yeah, that's, but I didn't feel like I was being judged.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like, you know, whatever. I mean, I've talked to her on the phone before for quite a while for this FCA stuff. She's been she's the reason I got into it. You know, she's been so supportive and great advice and things like that. And, you know, steer clear of this path over here and maybe stay over here. But that had to be almost what it was like for you guys to have parents like that going through struggles and being able to bring those problems and struggles to your parents.
Yeah, no, it absolutely isn't. I mean, growing up, it's always been, our family has always been super tight.
Yeah.
I've been very blessed with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that any problem comes around, our family will handle it. There's mm-hmm. no questions about it. Any kind of situation, whether it's physical, spiritual, or emotional, we just click. We work together. And it just, we are able to accomplish whatever is on its way to us.
Yeah.
I will forever have full faith that no matter what happens in this world, my family will stick together and we'll solve it.
Right.
Well, in the relationship you have with your siblings is, I mean, I love my brothers to death. And I know Brandon loves his brother and sister, and I love my sister too.
You forgot about your sister.
Don't leave her out of there. I love them all to death. But we, and I'm sure, like I said, I don't know what goes on behind closed doors. But the relationship that I see that you have with your little brother and your sister,
you're the sister, oldest, right? No, or she's the oldest.
My sister's the oldest. Yeah.
Oh, you're the middle.
But you guys are like, too, you guys are like best friends. Mm-hmm. I love my brothers, but
would you let them watch Ella?
Yeah.
Okay. So then, yeah, they're good. They're good friends.
I love them, but no, I mean,
that's what
you,
I base.
You have a relationship with your siblings that I feel that you maybe not. To Ashton, because he's way younger, but I feel like you have a relationship maybe with your sister that you could tell her anything mm-hmm. and tell her things that you might not tell your parents
right.
and you got, and she'll have your
vice
back.
Versa. Yeah.
And vice versa mm-hmm. where there's things that I'm not going to tell my brothers because they'll be like, you should probably maybe get on drugs or something. Or don't ever call me with that crap again.
Why'd you tell or me just, that?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's cool, and that shows that family bond you guys all have.
Yeah, and that just speaks leaps and bounds to having Christ at the center of your life. Like it touches everything around you.
Well,
and it doesn't mean that you guys haven't gone through hard things. I know that everybody goes through struggles, and but when you have that foundation of Christ to lean on, you're right. You can solve anything.
You don't
because care. He's the one that he's defeated every battle we've ever will or have faced. Like, you know, it's that's the foundation, dude. It's so important to center your life around that. And we just get so caught up.
Yeah.
We get so caught up in all the noise. Everything outside of Christ is noise.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people with families, they don't have that. You know, and I was blessed with it too, and I know your family too. You guys are all we have tight knit families that love each other. Like the whole world doesn't have that.
And over time, more and more of my family, well, we were always raised Christian. Don't get me wrong. My dad's family, probably not so much. They weren't atheists, but it just wasn't what was brought up. My mom's side, a lot more. Me, I've taken it to the next level. I have aunts and stuff that are quiet about it. I guess that's what they're supposed to be.
What?
But I've taken it to the next level. And for years, I thought, these guys are not taking me serious at all. Well, now I got a sister-in-law and nieces that are coming to church.
Yeah.
My brother started coming a little bit more. I have a cousin that got baptized in Texas. And before all that, would call me and ask me things. And I'm just like, whatever, you're drunk or something, to some family members. Like, just trying to be nice. But now I can see it now, that contagiousness of what I do, and just kept sticking to my
guns. with Christ.
But I know, and what I wanted to say, I know, speaking of the closeness of their siblings, I know you don't have social media, but your guys' Christmas pictures, where you did, was it kind of like that one movie?
Kind of like in Step Brothers, you know, like the
movie.
Like the cashmere sweaters.
Yeah, they did that. I was thinking of that movie with Zach Galifianakis, that him and his wife, like, I think it's the one where
they're politicians.
No. He, I think it's the one where they rob the Wells Fargo.
What?
I gotta look it up. it's a comedy.
Yeah, but it's Zach Galifianakis. Obviously, it's
based on a true story that a guy, he worked for Wells Fargo. It's like the largest bank robbery known. He worked for the Wells Fargo, where the ATM trucks and bank trucks. And so somebody convinced him to get the codes and everything, and they emptied the whole truck out, and the money's never been found.
Really? Yeah. Based on a true story?
Yeah, I think they caught. They all went.
So you're saying his family went and robbed?
No, there is a scene in that movie where he races home, and his wife, and this comedic thing is like, because they're taking engagement pictures, but the weirdness of those pictures were like, they were sitting back to back, and they were it's funny. You guys have to see this.
No, I haven't, dude.
No, they're hilarious, and it's, but it's just him, his little brother, and his sister did this together. Like, can you imagine awesome. You and Brandon going to Sears, and you guys like,
hey, dude, I remember when we used to do that when we were
but
yeah, kids,
but that was
bro.
Your mom and dad making
they
you do
made
that.
Us do it.
They went to do it just because they were out there having fun.
That's cool.
We
man.
Just recreated a bunch of awkward family photos.
Yeah,
and we're all in. We all
managed. Oh, you did it where like you have young versions of it.
We have one picture like that.
Where yeah. it's a young picture yeah. of you guys. Yep.
But yeah. they went and had professional pictures, like nice, like the Kmart dude. Studios kind of. Where did you go?
JCPenney's.
Yeah. So they actually went, and they all.
That's cool, dude.
I laughed so hard because, I mean, that would be hilarious, but I don't.
You wouldn't do that with your brothers?
I would, but they wouldn't. They'd be like, "This is dumb. Like, we're not doing that."
Yeah.
My little brother would, because he's kind of got that sense of humor. But
we should do that for this.
That would be fun. Like, get like duck sweaters. All of us. And just have Melanie take a few.
Dude, Melanie would do it.
I know she would. Just be.
Yeah.
Hey, I donated a bunch of Bibles last year to Adrian's, I think, Hope for Homeless or something. And by doing that, I got into a raffle and I won a free mini session that I haven't used with Melanie.
Mini? What's a mini session?
It means like 6 portraits.
It's more than enough.
Well, yeah.
It's perfect for a cover title.
Yeah, dude.
I know. We need something like that.
Clickbait.
Yeah. But that'd be funny.
What are these sweaters? Jokers doing? Yeah.
I'm gonna get a 1970s wig parted.
Dude, if you wear a wig, bro.
Because everybody knows I'm bald, so that would be
you
hilarious.
Look like yourself.
I know.
Who's
that's
the new
point.
Guy?
That'd give me some square frame glasses. No, that would be hilarious. That would be hilarious. But that, so, you know, that's really what I've been struggling with is that mentality.
Yeah, dude.
It's, and we all struggle with it, and that's why it segued into such a envy is, I think, one of the greatest sins.
Well, it's a strong one for sure. I mean, it grips.
But I know that that's what this world is meant to do.
Yeah, because what do they always say? More. They always say, you know, who's the prince quotes of the rich guy? He's like, well, it's one more thing that you could have. You're about to die. He's like, I just need one more dollar. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, you have all the money in the world. I just want one more dollar.
That was
like, it's not another dollar. You have all the money you could ever want. You're about to die. And what do you want?
Warren Buffett or something like that.
One more dollar. Like, bro, it's empty. It's really empty. And
yeah, you can't take it when you go.
That's, you know, we're rich here to be able to sit around, have conversations.
You know, laugh. What? That's the other thing about, I mean, social media is the algorithms that I get are a lot better than the dirty ones. But they're still, you ever see the algorithms on TikTok? You messed me up again. Algorithms on TikTok where it's the people who work in funeral homes.
Uh-oh. I have not.
What I mean, is this? This is a thing?
Yeah, I mean,
like,
it's
I'm the one on the outside here because this
it's for sure like
gibberish to me.
So it's like people doing vlogs. You don't see them working, but they'll be like, there's always the questions that pop up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're reading it like they look like they're reading a question.
Oh, yeah, the really point.
Yeah.
I've seen those.
And so it'll be a person that owns or works in a funeral home, and they're like, what's the purpose of having this in a casket? Like, if they're just going to bury it, how does this casket work? How do you. And so they go into the. I mean, it's real life stuff that people. But then they get into the ones that are like, how does the crematory thing work? Like the big oven, and then they go in and they got the digital thing, and we heat this bad boy up to about 1350 degrees and then just slide you in. We put you in a cardboard box and slide you in. And it's like, they don't show that, but they show what the cardboard box looks like. They show the thing that they just go,
so you know,
lifts you up and then they slide you in.
My biggest thing is because I don't have algorithms.
Yeah.
On social media, but I watch YouTube.
Yeah.
And I watch those spooky, ones. And, you know, I'll do it and it's almost like torturing myself because, like, I'll see one and it's like clickbait. I'm like, oh, I want to know what happened there.
Right.
And I open it and I'm like laying in my bed and it's dark. I'm like, I'm freaked out. I want to watch another one. You're like, you know, it's like,
so that's the
thing.
And then
they just show up. You have all these depictions.
Because I have. Like, and so they go over all the processes of when you're cremated and this and that. They have 5 gallon buckets full of like the metal, like if you had a knee replacement or nuts and bolts, that doesn't burn in the fire. So
do they recycle ashes. It?
I don't know. They just put it in these buckets. And so they put these buckets on the table. They're like, yeah, these are all, this here was a pin for somebody's neck and this and that. It's all steel. It's titanium. I mean, this is real life. These people, this is what they do for work. I couldn't do it. But God bless these people that can do this. But it just gets your mind going, especially before you go to sleep. And you're like, I'm going to die.
We're all going to die one day.
And I know that in my heart of hearts,
mm-hmm.
absent from the bodies, present with the Lord, I'm going to be, that's not going to matter.
Yeah.
But happen to think about somebody taking me and going, yep,
mm-hmm.
heat this bad boy up to 1350 degrees.
Right.
And then getting their funnel out and putting it on top of the urn and like, I'm like, because you get those weird thoughts in your head, like what if I'm not really dead?
An ice scooper.
Yeah. You know, and then they talk about the embalming, the fluids are showing, toolboxes for makeup. How do you keep the mouth closed? Well, we put these rivets in your mouth and then take wire and twist it and it shuts your mouth and it can't, oh, because you're dead. So all your muscles relax. So they twist it and I put makeup on you and then I'm like, but that gets in your head and that's, I mean, for some people this is educational, but for me I'm like, I'll be 40 how many years until I'm 80? What if I don't make it to 80? What if, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Which you shouldn't worry about because Christ is going to take care of it. But it's, but man, I'm like, how do I get this off my, oh, stop watching it. I mean, I went from trying to get, because like I was talking to Kevin before, you start a Christian site of any kind and you get attacked by everything.
Yeah.
Whether it's girls jumping on trampolines, whatever that is. And then that algorithm goes, you know what I mean? And it gets worse and worse. And so you finally get out of them woods. And now we're going to talk about what happens when you die. And I'm like, come on, you know, it's just as many of those though. I get Christian too, but lately now I get atheist, and they have, you know, on TikTok, you have to have 1,000 followers to go live, I think.
Okay.
So these guys are going live, and then the back headlines is, it's okay to be atheist. And they're just sitting there like, yeah, God's not real, duh. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, and then again, there goes my head. How come I can only have 400 followers and this guy's got 500,000?
Right.
And all he's doing is like, it's obvious God's not real. Have you seen him?
Science. No.
Not even that. There's dumber
explanations.
Explanations than that.
Yeah.
They're just like, have you ever met God? No. Duh, he's not real. End of story. And then people are just sending them all this great stuff. Just like the other guys, there's a homeless guy on there that he obviously can't be that homeless. He has 2 million followers,
he's got a cell phone,
and he's on TikTok, and he calls himself the homeless preacher. Sure, young guy, probably around your age. And I'm like, okay, I want to listen to this kid because he's always by a railroad track or something.
Well, maybe he's choosing
homelessness. And he's got a cardboard sign painted, Jesus Saves. Okay, sure, let me listen to this guy. And he'll start being like,
are you mad because your tattoo says Jesus Aves?
Yes, but he goes, he'll say stuff, and then Jesus, you know, we got to be in the spirit. And then all of a sudden he twitches and goes, I'm like, oh, great. And he does that every fourth or fifth word. And so now I got to go into the comments because I know this guy's got to be. And there's some people that are like, what? Like, this is real. But so many supporters like, oh, preach it to me, brother. And he'd be like, and I got to talk about the Holy Spirit. And just tongues, like weird, but it's always the same thing over and over. It's like, and I'm like,
oh my gosh, this is the world
that we live in.
Well, have you seen the video where they're in the church and they go, all right, let that Holy Spirit language come out of you. And the guy's like, skip it, blah, blah, blah. And the preacher starts taking off running.
Yeah.
They're all like, woo, just
yeah,
dancing.
Yeah, I watch those. My brother sends me and they put like DMX in the back. Yeah, or Slipknot and or Korn. It's always the part where the Korn song, boom, and then all the people are going, and I'm like, gosh. I don't know, man. It's a crazy world that we're living in, but these are, so, you know, I'm just gonna, he's got a microphone set for you too, whenever you feel comfortable at home and you want to jump on your phone, and we'll gladly put that, because he's not going to do that because he's busy
tonight,
but he's busy. He has a busy life. But he's got it. He's a single dad. I mean,
yeah.
See, am I making fun of you? Giving you a hard time right now?
You are. Yes.
But you're taking care of your aunt, your uncle.
I know, yeah.
You've got a son.
It's a lot.
I got very energetic.
A pretty taxing job. I can't even
do my videos unless I'm doing chores or my family is gone.
Yeah.
I can't, because I can't do it without my sweet little one coming in and, hey, poop. And I'm like, okay, well, here we go. Cut. But if you want to, anything that comes. And you can either send it to me on, you know how to do Google Drive or you got an iPhone, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can just send me the video. I can throw it into the editing thing so it can put your name tag on there. You know, I don't cut anything out. That's what I used to do for him. It would just pop up, you know, Kevin with Street Smart Christian or SSC Ministries. And I put these out on most of the social media stuff, because the more you put on social media, the more it floods the algorithm. These are doing a lot better on YouTube than my short videos. I don't know why, but these
are short videos doing better on Facebook than your long one.
I'm still trying to tackle the Instagram monster. I don't know if you've broken into the Instagram much.
I don't. I mean, I post on there. I have posted on there quite a bit.
So I'm still trying to do that. You know, there's a lot of things I can get you the information to be an administrator like Kevin was on our social medias too, where you can post things like I post on there or videos. So I gave that information to Brandon, but.
So
we love you, Brandon.
Yeah.
Can they be kind of silly too?
Yeah, you can be as silly as you. Look at us. We're two.
Yeah, dude.
Like we're borderline, bro. So go ahead.
What does that mean?
I'm not going to bring up any of that because they're going to be like, well, I thought this was a Christian podcast.
Yeah.
We beat it.
We beat what?
A syndrome.
The tism.
Okay, well, that there's no need to sugarcoat it now. Because
you can edit that out.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, please.
Go ahead, be silly, dude. I'm sorry.
No, just don't let me forget before we leave.
I'll show you how to use it.
I have them in my bag. Oh, wait. I don't think I have my bag.
If you don't, then we'll get them anytime.
Yeah. Mail them to you.
Okay.
Are you coming to church on Sunday?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, then there you go.
Beer, too.
Okay, that's good. Go ahead.
Bro, I'm so worried about that chair.
I am too, but
have you ever seen the videos of them like shooting through the bottom? Dude, you know what I'm talking about, dude. Let's
stand up.
Every time it clicks, I'm like, dude, I'm just so afraid.
I know it's clicking on it.
I saw this video once. I don't know where. It was a long time ago. This guy staged a bike for people to steal, but the seat would punch through. Yeah, like foam. So like people would steal the bike. Yeah. I'm like, bro, that's like illegal. It's gotta be something, I mean, bro. Like,
it depends on how hard you jump on that seat.
People are stealing it. Yes.
Yeah. But if you're just,
but then he's recording himself, recording it happening to these people, and they're like,
unless you jump on it, it's not really. Jump,
when you steal a bike, that's how people get on it. I know,
but you're not jumping off of a, you know, enough to where it's going to go through your pants.
It's
just going to be enough to.
It's not going to feel good.
Most people get shot for stealing stuff, so that's probably pretty good.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Okay, I'm sorry, Anton. What did you want to bring up? He wanted to be silly, and we kept interrupting him.
No, I was just talking about with the
when he gets the mic. Yeah.
What,
bro? Where are you?
You want to be silly with the microphone?
When?
What?
When I start making the
TikToks with
for you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yes. You can be silly on those two. Yeah. I was waiting for you to be silly right now. I'm like.
Dude, you can't force it, Adam.
I know. I wasn't going to force it, but I was going to give them the stage.
We are. This is the stage now?
Oh, boy. I liked this one.
Yeah, this one. Okay, so we didn't get to our ghost. We will do on the next one that we have to. But this one, I think the moral of the story is, you know.
You got to let go and let God, for sure.
Let go, let God. Make sure Christ is at the center.
Yeah.
For all you that are new,
yeah,
that's where you start. For all of you that have been doing it and have maybe have been, you know, lukewarm, you know, because I have that issue, lukewarm Christianity. Like, focus on Him at the center, and just continue to try and take yourself out of the equation. Like, what does God want you to do?
And really, you've got to know that God knows exactly what He wants you to do.
And what you need to do.
And He knows what you need to do. And He's going to make sure that whatever it is going to happen in your life is because He put that in your life.
For a reason, yeah. Everything
He orchestrated everything before you were even born. Mm-hmm. from beginning to end, he's got it.
Right. I agree. I think if you want true, real confidence,
mm-hmm.
you start living for Christ, you start carrying yourself like your purpose is for Christ,
mm-hmm.
and you will have a true and a real confidence that people, you just can't describe.
Yeah.
And I noticed that with just some people I look up to.
Yeah.
You can see it when they walk in a room. There's just a presence about them that they...
You know.
Yep.
Oh, yeah,
they're confident. They,
your identity they should.
Mission.
Our pastor your identity has should that. Be
in Christ. Yeah, you're. That's yeah.
You guys.
You look at Pastor Rick, and
I mean, you know, do you notice that? Like, yeah. Whenever he enters a room, he brings a light.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I've seen him, not so pastor-like, where he gets irritated with something or gets a little upset about how something's going,
yeah.
He still has that energy.
The one that it draws your eyes to him, but it also just draws your attention.
Yeah. Because
when somebody like him walks in a room, you just kind of...
Well, that's exactly it. My wife and I got the privilege of going to lunch with him and with Cheryl and him Sunday. And we just walk into the restaurant, and almost everybody in there knows who he is. I mean, that's a lot to do with because this is where he's from, but everybody's just... so happy to see him.
Mm-hmm.
He just brings that,
yeah,
that vibe. And shout out to Mike, who did that pay it forward and picked up the whole tab before he even left the restaurant.
Who's Mike?
Flugel. He sits right behind you.
Mike.
Yeah. He was in there with his kids.
Oh, dude, he's such a good dude.
Yeah, he was in there with his kids, and then he came up and, you know, hey, we got to go to Lyman. Kids got a ball game. So taking off the lineman, and then Rick's, are you ever going to bring our bill? And then the lady finally came, some to-go boxes, and he's like, can we have our bill? Well, she's like, she was kind of like awkward. Like she was like,
it's already been paid for.
Yeah. And then he's like, what? You know, Rick, what? What do you mean? What? Did he? And then he said, did he leave you a tip? And she's like, yeah, but still tipped her $20.
Yeah.
You know something Steve told me? As Christians, no matter where we go, we should always tip really well. Because as Christians, we're known to be the cheapest.
Says who?
Like, well, for the non-believers or people struggling with the faith, they might come from a church that Christians weren't so nice, and they're very judgmental, and they're very... on their high horse and on a pedestal. That's the other thing we'll talk about next time is that. Because that was the next rant video that I had. Was there's a lot that are on their high horse and their pedestal and they look down on other people. Not only just in other Christian communities, but in our own Christian community. I haven't had it personally. Well, I don't know, because I don't know what people talk about at home about me. But I haven't seen it personally been attacked by it, but I've seen it done. And I'm always just like, wait, well, hold on. I mean, there's legitimate reasons to have concern with people in the church, but then it's just other, and I'm like, yeah, okay. And especially in the algorithms on social media, there's so many. So that'll be next week's. Let's think about that a little bit. About Christians that think their stuff don't stink, and we even can probably be that way sometimes, where we're like,
holier than thou.
And yeah, well, not exactly holier than thou, but more.
I'm pretty. I don't know.
We're all three very humble, for sure, and we've been on the other side of the fence. I know that Kevin and I have been a little more on the way other side of the train tracks maybe than you've been, but you struggle with your own stuff, and that's good.
We don't know yet.
Well, yeah, I mean, he could probably be like, I killed somebody. And I used to deal cocaine in the FFA. No, dude, I know way better than that. I know way better than that. However, so I think it's a little different for me and you when it comes to looking down on other people, but there's probably other times where we're like in regular life where we're probably not as Christian as we should have been. as far as that love thing goes, and that love your enemy thing goes.
Yeah, it's hard to love on people sometimes.
Yeah, I for sure. Struggle
with that. I fall short on that a lot.
So maybe next week, if everybody wants to tune in next week, we're going to talk about all them high flutin' flutootie Christian people and how we cannot be that. And as Christians, we got to do better. That's what I said in that video. We got to do better. I didn't say you got to do better. We've got to do better. And my wife told me something for sure. This is the real truth. She told me yesterday was Tuesday. Tuesday morning, with my little tood, she said, "You know what? If you're going to talk about it," I'm serious, she said that, but you're going to.
And you said, "Be about it."
No, I didn't. I had my head down, and she was like, "If you're going to talk about it, be about it." And I'm like, "All right, I will."
She used it on you, dude?
Uh-huh.
Hey!
She flipped it because she watches those little videos, and every one of them, I say, "If you're going to talk about it, be about it. Remember, if you're going to talk about it, be about it." Well, then I was and just being ornery, not mean, but I was being
diarrhea
depressed.
Of the mouth.
No, I wasn't saying nothing negative to her. It was myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care about nothing. Life's stupid. This is what I get. I try so hard and I get nothing. She's like, really? Well, then if you're going to talk about it, I'm like, but I want it. And she'll, well, if you're going to talk about it, then be about it. And I was like, Was that eat crow? Is that what they call that? Or what is that? Okay. Well, you fancy. You know these things.
Bro, that's like an old saying.
I know. That's why I asked him, because he knows.
You're not 40 yet, dude.
Like eating your words? Or...
Yes.
I think it's eat crow, I think, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad he's here, because you always try to make me sound stupid.
I'm just funny, dude.
I know. This used to be our old school arguments. We would rant about that, but... Hey, for Meredith and all the new listeners out there, we got to the topic pretty quick, and we left the
maybe
tail end. What are you talking about, maybe?
Yeah.
It was like 2 minutes into the podcast.
Felt like 20.
Well, she said we used to do 20 and then get to the topic. Right out of the gate, did he not say, "What's the topic, guys?"
Oh, yeah, I did say that.
And we got right into it.
To one of the topics.
So if you made it this far and you wanted to shut it off, then I guess you made it. Made our algorithm a little stronger. But whatever, if you get this far, we just like to, we're a couple of dudes that just like to have a good time. And I appreciate you guys, because this is a good one.
It was a very good one. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's because we got to clear some stuff up, and it's always good to vent a little bit and talk to like-minded Christian men. Fellowship. And that's fellowship. That was the other one that I was ranting about. We've talked about that, and how I'll get you that information. You can get on the social media, because it's a platform that I think we all need to be in.
Well, you know what?
You'll read it.
If you're going
to
talk about it.
I'm going to give it to him. I always give it to him. That's the first thing I did for you and for Brandon. But yeah, you just
you're
get it.
Talk about it. Be about it, man.
And then you'll see the comments where people are like, "I don't like church."
I was about to pick up your laptop.
So,
but I'm not going to do that, because it's going to break.
Thank you for not doing that. Dude, I'd be like, "Well, about that depression, it's back." And then my seat breaks. All right, guys, let's end this.
Yeah.
Is that good?
I think so.
All right.
So.
Late. Goodbye, everybody. That's what Joe Rogan says. Goodbye, everybody.
See you soon.